It was the Anglo-American alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides and the script for this evening. The title of the show this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is English Defence League radio show, Beauty and the Beast. There's a reason behind it. I will go on. And you'll discover the reason why we've termed it as this evening. So let me continue. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jess Bader Mitchell, and my wingman tonight is Dave Agnew-Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing a number of items as we welcome a special guest. Yes, activist Tanya Croft will be with us to lend her experience to our talk on topics from the Islamic invasion of the West to Wuhan virus tyranny. Our great listeners can look forward to some unique commentary and the kind of honesty our governments won't engage in. The bold take the stage once again. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing, of course. That was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was the great, late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, because I think our guest is waiting, got her hand up. I have to see it right at the moment. I think this is Dave. Let me pass it over to you, Dave. Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome. And our guest, I will be saying, in a very short while. So, Dave, over to you, bro.
All right, and just want to say a big hello to everyone in whatever time segment you're in around the world, and, of course, off Earth, we can't forget those. A little bit of housekeeping before we bring our guest on. We are, of course, having our regular show today, but next Sunday we're going to have an archive show because it's my birthday and I ain't working on Sunday. Ain't doing it. Now, what you're going to get, though, guys, is going to be something you're going to want to tune in for because it's going to be whatever was going on right around October the 3rd of 2014. This was back during the heyday of the EDL, so you're going to get to hear from some old friends. You're going to get to hear from some great contributors, I'm sure. And you're going to get to hear from Jeff, the sexiest podcast host around. And it's going to be great, guys. So look forward to that next week. But for this week, we have a very, very special guest with us. They say East is East and West is West, but are they? I want to welcome to our program someone who has been on my show, The Unpleasant Blind Guy, a number of times, and someone who Jeff and I are very happy to have here, Tanya Groth. Tanya, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Dave.
Tanya, long time no chat. Hope you're keeping well.
Yes, very, very long time. Yes, I'm keeping well. What was it, like, was it 2015 or something?
I think, do you know what? I think you're right, Tanya. I think actually you went down on one of our demonstrations. I think you went down to, let me see, down the road a bit. Not Clacton, was it? It wasn't Clacton.
No, I'm trying to remember.
Yes, Colchester.
Yes, I was, actually.
That was it. You were at Colchester. That was
a long time ago now.
Oh, I know. Oh, my goodness me. So the trouble is time goes by so quick, and sadly, with the world the way it is, this total drama that's going around the world and the evilists out there, the globalists. I don't think we thought that we'd ever come across a time like this. Am I correct, Tony? Never. But it was bad back then,
wasn't
it?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's unprecedented. We've seen markers throughout the last 20 years that we should have known that something was brewing. But we've been so occupied with immigration and such, we just didn't really discover that there was something else brewing as well.
We're
much wiser now.
It's just a shame. I mean, I've heard there are time travelers. Just a shame that we couldn't have traveled back or traveled forward a little bit just to see what we could be experiencing and what we could have done to try to put things right. Wouldn't that be lovely if we could do that?
Yeah, it certainly would have been.
But Tanya, Dave was sat up, seeing some beautiful pictures where you're living. You've moved, haven't you? In Bulgaria. Wow!
Yes, I've moved to the Black Sea, Varna, Bulgaria. I've been living here now 3 months.
Oh, wow. I was very impressed because Dave showed me some pictures. I thought, wow, from where you come, and all the hassle you was having there in Denmark, that was bad, wasn't it? You went through a lot there,
didn't you, Tanya?
I don't believe Dave and this, but I just wanted to say hello to you, Tanya. You'd have to come onto the show more because we love having you here. And to hear your voice again, just like it was when we left last talk, it seems just like that, doesn't it?
Time flies.
So
we're having fun,
voice,
right? Likewise.
Dave?
Well, thank you, Jeff. A few oceans have run under a few bridges since 2015. That is for absolutely sure. Yeah, now, Tanya, the left consider Denmark, as we've discussed on my show, The Unpleasant Blind Guy, to be the exemplar, the place that they really want to take everywhere else. And given the events of the past few years, that's exactly what's happening. But it's not the utopia that the left pointed out to be. And the question I have for you is, what made you decide to leave the country that I'm sure you love? And B, what made you choose Bulgaria?
Well, like you said, David, Denmark is not the utopia people portray it to be. I moved there, when was it? Like 22 years ago, I moved from Canada back to Denmark. There's been a little bit ping pong back and forth, being living in Canada and Denmark. But anyhow, when I moved to Denmark, it was safe. You could walk around at night, unmolested, no problems. You didn't see a lot of hijabs. You didn't see a lot of Islam and migrants in Denmark. But that changed. That changed actually fairly rapidly. I don't know if you say 20 years is rapid. In my view, that's rapid. And now it's there are daily reports of young people being attacked, mostly young boys and girls being raped, and it's just an endless stream of bad news. And the left, they still they're not as bad as Sweden, though, I must say. But they keep running the narrative that immigration is good. And which it clearly isn't, and more people are becoming aware of that. It's impossible to walk down a street in Denmark without seeing gangs of MENA migrants, hijabs everywhere, Islam is sneaking in. The country's being Islamized. With halal meat, and then there's rules in daycares. You're not allowed to serve pork. And it's just incrementally, all these things have been happening. And in the 20 years that I lived there, it just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, I was with Nikolai Sinels, and the group formed was for freedom. And we did demonstrations for like 4 years. And I was leading of these demonstrations, but there wasn't much interest really. It depended on the speaker. We had Anne-Marie Waters and Tommy Robinson speaking there, and Paul Weston also. Quite a few people showed up. We had a good demo there. But mostly people weren't interested in coming to a demo or doing something. And that got frustrating. That got very, very frustrating. And I grew a little disenchanted. I grew disenchanted with my country and disenchanted with the Danes in general, thinking, geez, if they're not willing to fight or do anything for their country. Before I left, I was a member of the board of the Free Press Society as well. Again, we'd have all kinds of very, very interesting speakers coming over to speak, Mark Stein and various others. We could barely fill a house. I grew tired of it. And then 4 years ago, I was down here visiting my friend Tatiana Festerling, who lives here. And I fell in love with Varna. And I looked around and I thought, geez, it looks normal. Everything is just normal. No hijabs on the streets, no migrants all over the place, and it was just like, wow, peaceful, families walking around. It was safe to walk around at night. And I kind of fell in love with her, and I thought, I could live here. This is really nice. And these people seem to be proud of their country, proud of their language, proud of their heritage, their culture. And so I visited a few more times, and finally when I due to COVID also, I lost my job at the university. A number of us were let go. I thought, it's the perfect time. I sold my apartment, packed up, and here I am. And very happy. Very happy for it. Life is, it's like It's like an alternate universe, really. You have to kind of experience it to actually realize it. I've had my friend Ingrid Carlqvist, who came to visit, and she looked around. She said she was just agape. She's from Sweden. Of course, Sweden is just overrun by migrants. And down here, you see nothing. No hijabs. Everything's normal. And she was quite shocked. But you have to see it to believe it, really.
Amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I grew up, and you're about 15-ish years behind me, more or less. I grew up thinking of Bulgaria, and at that time, of course, the Visegrad countries and things like that. I grew up with them being in the dark shadow of the Soviet Union. Bulgaria was like, you know, ultra-communist, just completely dictatorial.
Oh, it was a model communist country.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything has flipped around. You mentioned yourself, yeah. Tanya, how at this point you look at Bulgaria, you look at Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovenia, places like that. Eastern Europe has become the new Western Europe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That's how I see it. You see the countries who are they're strong, and they're strong in their culture, and they want to preserve their culture, and they are fully aware by looking at the West now how badly it can go when you just open the floodgates to let immigration in, or migration in. Illegal migration in. So they're very wary, of course, as you know, Hungary, there are fences everywhere, and they do whatever they have to do to protect their borders. I know here in Bulgaria they have a fellow on a fellow and his standing army, private army, on the border between Bulgaria and Turkey. And they are not pleasant fellows. If anybody tries to sneak into Bulgaria, they are sent packing with a nice message back home, which is great, which is wonderful. And they're privately funded.
Good.
What?
They're called, I think their leader is called Dinko, and they're privately funded.
Well, you know.
They're privately funded.
That may be, and Jeff, I'll let you back in here in a second. That may be the way that it has to be done from now on, because the EU certainly isn't going to allow that. They're about to put together their own army, and the worry that I have is that they're going to try and impose this migration on the Visegrad countries and the other countries. But private protection may be the way that it has to go. I read some years ago that in Sweden, the private security forces there outnumber the army in Sweden. This may be the way that things have to go. And I have to admit, Tanya, that I had a fairly good idea of where Bulgaria was. And you said it was on the Black Sea. So I went and looked at it. And I saw that it was very near Turkey. And I went, oh, crap. But you've made me feel a little bit better. Talking about your border protection forces there. Jeff, you want to get in on this?
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize how close Turkey was to you, Tanya. What about Hungary? Hungary. Is that close, pretty close proximity to where you are? Hungary?
Hungary? Not that close, no.
Not that close.
I'm not so terribly good at the geography there.
No, nice,
I must admit, but they're not all that close. But
I just wanted to let you know, Tanya and Dave, that Bigfoot's in the chat room, and he said, "Hi, Jeff, hi, Agador," and he's saying hi, Tanya, as well. So I just wanted to let you know, Tanya. And Dave, that we've got Bigfoot, who's listening to our conversation tonight. I'll tell you what, Arnie, it's so interesting because I know I remember years ago how bad things got in Denmark. You was proactive and you was jostled around a lot. You was threatened, wasn't you? I mean, our listeners need to know one of the reasons that you finally decided you can't put up with that. And then it's really hard to pick everything up and to go to another country. So it must have been a big part of your decision, because the way things was looking where you was to where it is now, I think you feel I just get that feeling that you feel safe now, Tony.
I feel absolutely safe, and I feel quite at home here. I haven't given up on Denmark because I'm very active. I'm still very active online, and I do still do some things for the Free Press Society and such, because I also have a son there. I have a son and three granddaughters.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, and they are part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. It may sound odd that I'm leaving them to actually help them, but I figure down the line, the Eastern Bloc countries are going to survive a lot better than the Western countries. So I'm here to establish a base, I suppose, so that both my son and my grandkids, when things get bad, and I'm not saying if, I'm thinking when things get really, really bad and they're getting more and more Islamized down the road, then my grandkids can come here if you'll threaten there, which I'm sure they will at some point.
Well, I like your thinking, Tanya. I like the way you're thinking of the future, the way things are going, and I think we all feel an uncertainty of the times ahead. I think we've still got quite a few dark days ahead of us, especially this side of the planet, if you know what I'm saying, Tanya. Mm. Things are, you know, becoming tyrannical. You look over to the other side of the world, in Australia, it's unbelievable what's going on in Australia and across the globe. The globalists have stepped it up. They have declared war on us, the freedom-loving people. And we've just got to stand up and fight for everything that we've always talked about, Tony. When you've been at demonstrations, you've talked about it. Freedom. That is what people are crying on the streets, freedom. That's what we're hearing. Yeah. And resist. Yeah. Which we've always talked about.
No compliance. We do not comply.
Because it's so good to hear you, and I'm so glad you're happy. I really am, you know.
Thanks, Jess. It was a good decision. I'm very pleased with it. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, Tanya, I have to say that I've always admired you, and you've told me a couple of times when you were a guest on my show that you weren't a politician or anything like that, but it was your perceptiveness that I was after. It was your perceptiveness that I was after when I had you on my programs, and it's still that makes you a good guest. And what you were just talking about, preparing a base for people to come to when the issues happen. That quite honestly makes me admire you even more. I have been beating the same drum over here ad nauseum for some people, saying that we have to preserve what we have for the future generations. Of course we have to fight the fight that's in front of us. That's obvious. But we have to take a multi-pronged approach. And one of those is to preserve the things that keep us the basic philosophies that keep our civilization. And that's why I did the show that I did in 2013 called The Way Back. Listeners, you can find that at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. Just search for The Unpleasant Blind Guy, The Way Back. Now, what you're talking about here is a very excellent thing to do, and hopefully it's something that other people will pick up on. The problem is that when some people hear things like that, they think, well, okay, that's just defeatist and you're admitting to it. No, you're not. You are being very strategic in your thinking, and that's something I admire. I predicted in 2013, for instance, over here in the States, that our documents, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution of the United States, as they were originally written by our country's founders, would wind up being banned. And what happened last week? Heard the news that, and you guys can find this on Campus Reform, by the way, listeners, heard the news that the National Archives here in the United States has put a quote-unquote harmful language warning on their website beside the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And, oh, they have, yes. So this isn't even coming from an outside influence. This is coming from my own government. That is saying that the Declaration of Independence has trigger language in it. And you know, Tanya, and you know, Jeff, both of you know, that when they begin putting these little warnings out, that's the first step. So, Tanya, I very much admire your thinking.
Oh, that's awful. That's shocking to hear, Dave. I wasn't aware of that. But, yes, you're right. That's a red flag. Definitely, right there. Your Constitution is the most beautiful document ever written. That is that you must not lose that, and then trigger warnings on the Constitution. Oh my God! Okay, shocking.
Oh yeah. It is. It is. And well, I actually think our Declaration of Independence is the most beautiful document, but the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments to our Constitution is definitely. In the running for that. It's at the core of everything that we are. It's at the core of self-rule and personal liberty. And I think all of us, even though you guys both live in democracies and I live in a republic, it's something that runs deep in our veins, and yet it is something that the powers that be in the UK, in Denmark, and sadly, in the States, regardless of party, that doesn't seem to matter, have decided they want to get rid of. And, Tanya, you mentioned before that people seem to be very apathetic about this invasion of migrants in Denmark. Yeah. And that made me think of a story that I saw from Breitbart about the upcoming German general elections. And one of the things that I got out of that story was that the people there, regardless of party, were very apathetic. And I have to think, and I want to get your opinion on this, Tanya, and then yours, Jeff. I have to think that this has got to be because they are so oppressed now because of the basically invasion of migrants that Merkel has let in, that they don't feel like there's anything that they can do. What do you think?
Well, for speaking for Denmark, the apathy, most people still live a reasonably good life. It's like that boiling frog thing, where you slowly get used to things being bad, and then just a little more bad, and just a little more, until you just it becomes like a normal condition somehow. Unless you have your eyes open, you've been red-pilled, you actually notice what's going on. For example, the kids in Europe, they will never know how good it was once upon a time. They're just used to, okay, well, this is just the way it is, you know, if we get beaten up by these Arab boys. That's the way it is. That's the way it's always been, because that's the way it has always been in their life, their short lifespan, or they say short lifetime already. So the apathy, I guess, it's more the adults who actually know that it could be better, and they're not doing anything about it. But yes, they complain. We complain. We do all kinds of things, but the government doesn't listen. The government doesn't do anything. They just keep on going, doing what they want to do. Even though they're, you know, we voted them in. I don't know, people just keep voting for the same damn idiots all the bloody time. Luckily, though, in Denmark, we have a new party, a new conservative party that's actually getting a lot of support. More and more people are looking towards them as being potential, saviors, but somebody who could do something about the situation. And there is more and more talk about sending migrants out, which is good. There's a little bit of talk in Sweden as well. Sweden is way ahead of the curve in being destroyed, but still there are some things happening slowly, but not fast enough. Just not fast enough. And now with all the Afghans, you don't want Afghans. It seems like the awakening is not happening fast enough, and not enough people.
No, I just want to say, Tana, maybe you agree with me. I think the only time anybody will take notice is when it's right on their doorstep. You know, it's on the other side of the road. They're being harassed by the cultists of death, and people then, what do we do? Well, it's a bit late. We talked about these issues.
Yeah, but if you complain, you're called a racist.
We've talked about these issues for years, and all we've said is for people, stand up and talk what's going on. Don't just back away and sit down and point fingers. Mm-hmm. That don't help. We need the men to stand up. We've always said that, haven't we, Dave?
Yes.
And Tom? We've always said that. It comes to time, and we are in that time. We will pass that time, and I think you would agree, Tanya. We're well past that time where people have got, you've got to see them on the streets every day. And we're seeing this. I'll tell you what, the guys in Australia, as brave as you can be, and they've been battered. They've been used all sorts of weaponry on them. They've stopped the helicopters flying over. The public can't see what's going on. These guys are standing up fighting. And I point a finger and I'm shouting to the guys in Australia, resist, you're doing a fantastic job. Mm. Keep the pressure up on this tyrannical scum.
Yes. Hold the line.
I know
I get
rather emotional because I see what's been going on. Thank goodness I've got some live feeds that come through now and again, and I look out, oh my goodness me, these guys are standing there, they're fighting, but you know what? They're coming, they almost look like Robocops is coming towards these guys.
It's shocking. I never thought I'd see that in Australia. Like they're black-clad Robocops.
Yeah, that's it. We saw them in America a little while ago. One of the, was it, Dave, you know what I'm talking about. It was outside Capitol Hill. And it was
the J6 rally were dressed like Robocops.
Can you believe it, Tanya? That's what we see on the streets now. Dave, I don't know if you want to interject there, because I think I'm right. It was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? Because I know, because we had Ken on the show, and Ken was there. He was videoing these Robocop type of people. Dave?
Yeah, as I said, this was the J6 rally, the recognition of the J6 rally. Basically, it was, Tanya, a call to release the political prisoners that the left have held ever since they claimed
since
that...
so-called insurrection?
Yeah, the so-called insurrection, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And there's those people are still being held in solitary confinement in the D.C. jail. Some of them are not even being allowed to have a haircut or a shave. They're being given limited access to their attorneys, something which Tommy Robinson is very familiar with, by the way. And we speculated that they'll be used for show trials. But the point is that, we saw these lines of armored police officers. And I commented to Jeff on it, and he agreed. They basically looked like machines almost. And, of course, the demonstration was completely peaceful. And this is going on in our country.
But there's videos come out now. And how can they possibly proceed with any sort of litigation against these people when the videos say otherwise?
It's
there in Technicolor.
Yeah. Well, and
it was the FBI. FBI that was in Capitol where it was guiding everything, causing the mayhem. Mm-hmm. People were just milling about. They got tired out of it, and that's what we see. This was a setup. I think we would, us guys who sit in here, would agree. This was one big setup. Mm-hmm. This was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But and maybe it's this tyrannical thing. They want to show what happens to people if they do anything like that. And unfortunately, the one person that did die was a veteran shot in the neck. And that was terrible.
Yeah.
I've heard
Ashley Babbitt talk about it.
And he's not had no result from it whatsoever. They don't even talk about it. They just class his wife as an insurrectionist, you know. I think it's tragic. But this is the time. I mean, history will talk about this time. It's got to, isn't it, Tony and Dave? It's got to talk about what's going on, because we will overcome the tyrants out there. It's always been said there's tyrants, they come and they go. And they will go. They'll be forcibly removed. Another, I don't know, whatever ways they're going. But this world doesn't need globalists. We do not need tyrants. And we do know how to deal with them. And they're always dealt with quite harshly. But we get a lot of collaborators out there. I see something today in North South West Victoria, the guy saying, "Oh, report on your neighbours." It's just on Facebook, I said, doesn't this sound like a Nazi? This is Nazi.
No, it's communist. Communist.
It's disgraceful.
That's Stasi stuff.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tanya. It is the Stasi thing, almost. Well, you know, the Stasi, the Nazis. You notice how these totalitarians all adopt the same set of techniques to try and keep a population under control. And
of course,
this Wuhan virus, I'm not even going to bother getting into where it came from or any other mess right now, because I know you have limited time. Ladies and gentlemen, Tanya is up late night. It's 11 o'clock where you are.
It's okay. I'm a night owl. So.
Oh, well, me too. There you go. I keep finding reasons to like you more and more.
You're night owl.
Over here in the United States, and it happened in the UK. We've seen stories about it too. It's the same thing. Report on your neighbors. If your neighbor breaks lockdown, report on them. And we saw this happen here in the United States in several of our states.
It's a common playbook.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And isn't it interesting, guys, that part of that common playbook, Bobo the Clown is running for PM in the UK. And Jim Crow Joe Biden is running for president in the United States in 2020, and both of them have the same slogan. All right, Build Back Better. What a crock! But anyway, they have the same slogan.
It's a great reset. The WEF and Schwab and those Bill Gates and those idiots that fundamentally want to change the world.
I'm sorry to interject, Tanya and Dave. I've just got to let you know we've got someone else join us. He often comes here on a Sunday, and that's Sir Tunic, and he said hi to us, Dave, and he's also said hi to Bigfoot as well. So I thought I'd let you guys know that we've got one of our dear friends who joins the chat. So I'll just see him just a minute ago. So, hi, it's a Tunic. back to Dave.
Right. Well, and hello to Satunic and Bigfoot. You know, this is a special day because we have Tanya Groth with us from Varna, Bulgaria. And my God, Tanya, part of part of what I wanted to get into there was the whole Wuhan virus tyranny thing, because you were involved.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Now, you, those of you who haven't heard Tanya's last appearance with me on the Unpleasant Blind Guy was you were involved in a demonstration, an anti-lockdown demonstration there in in Denmark, and tell the people a little bit about that one, and then please tell us how the whole atmosphere is vis-a-vis the Wuhan virus and all of that, where you are now in Bulgaria, please.
Okay, well, the lockdown, the anti-lockdown protest, well, it was a protest against them changing the wording, you know, of the epidemic laws, and a lot of people stood outside Parliament with pots and pans and making a hell of a racket, which could for days, weeks on end, which could be heard from the inside as well. But the Danes are fairly, they kind of believe their authorities. And so there are a great number of Danes that have been jabbed, unfortunately. Really unfortunate. It's very, very but different. And they ran, I remember with the masks, I never wore a mask. And I went on the subways, and it was a rare time I went on the subways where I could see anybody else not wearing a mask. Everybody was wearing masks. And I just, from an early time, I thought, I did a lot of research on it. It's like, this is stupid. It doesn't work. It's ridiculous. But they like I said, they believe their health authorities, so-called health authorities, and their governments, and they believe that the governments wish them all the best. And I don't believe that they do. I mean, but now that they have, I think now they put the masks aside and mandates and such. I know they're still, from my Danish friends, they're still saying that they're pushing the jab very, there's a lot of propaganda about the jab. Yeah, take the jab, a so-called vaccine. Here, nothing. You go to a bigger department store, people will wear masks. Most of them don't have it over their nose. They just have to have it on their face because they have to have it on. And they don't really care if it's down around your chin, seems like. So it's pretty relaxed here. And all through the summer, people have been on the beach, lying cheek by jowl everywhere. You can sit in cafes and restaurants. There's no passport and no, you don't have to show proof of anything. And Bulgaria is the country in Europe that has the lowest vaccine uptake, and that's like 20%. I still think that's too much, but it's still low. And so people are very, very hesitant here, and they're very suspicious. I mean, their time with the, I think they can see the correlation with the tyranny, and they also look around and they say, we don't want to be like Australia, we don't want to be like England nor other countries. We want to do what we want to do, and they're defiant, the Bulgarians. They're defiant, and I think that comes from their time being oppressed by the Ottomans and then communists, and now they finally have their freedom. And it's only recent, you know, it was like, what, 1990 or something like that, they finally got rid of the commies. So they're not into authoritarians at all anymore, or totalitarian.
Very friendly, Tanya. Are they very friendly people?
They can be friendly. They're not overly friendly. I would say I sometimes get ill-treated, but grumpily treated. And as soon as I start trying to practice a little bit of my Bulgarian on them, then they warm up. They don't want, I wouldn't call them xenophobic, but maybe they are a little bit. They don't like foreigners very much, and they're suspicious of them. And I think that stands them in really good stead. And I don't mind being, if somebody's grumpy with me, I think, you know what, I understand that. I wouldn't want foreigners coming to my country either.
Well, not given their history, no, certainly not. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, they're having a very easy time of it there as far as the Wuhan virus goes. And yet you look at Israel, which is the most quote-unquote vaxxed nation on earth.
Yeah.
And their people are really going through some terrible times. I want to impart to you and also to our listeners that you go to TECNTV.com on Rumble. That is the link to that is on our show page here at BlogTalkRadio.com, and you will find a video there that Ken McClinton, CEO of TECNTV.com, put out, because this came on YouTube and he wanted to grab that and get it translated and put onto Rumble before YouTube took it down. And these people are talking about terrible, all of the issues with the biomod, which is what I call it, that they've had to get, and they're terrible. Ken's own father, Ken lives in Washington D.C. His own father was hospitalized with blood clots. That's one of the symptoms.
That's a big one.
And my own brother just got out of the hospital very, very recently, within the last couple of weeks. He had blood clots in his lungs. This biomod, and I'm more sorry to hear, honestly, Tanya, that he still believes in it. A lot of these poor people who have just chosen to believe the propaganda because it's easy. And I think that is a thing, and once you respond, Tanya, Jeff, I'm sure you'll want to jump in. That is, I think, one of our biggest enemies in regard to this Wuhan virus tyranny, the migration tyranny, all of this, is just the apathy among the people of the West. I mean, maybe someone who was on the EDL radio team here some years ago had the right idea when he said that we've just had it too darned easy since the Great Depression and the World Wars. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Peace damage.
And of course, that was, and you know him, don't you? That was Tim Burton, I think, said that. Am I correct, Dave? I think that was Tim said that. Kind of back in the day,
yes,
if I remember right.
Yes, it was, and he was right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But
Tony, you know about Tim Burton. he's joined up with Britain First. He was the first in command, but it seemed like Paul Golding's back on the scene again. So I thought I'd let you know, Tony, what's going on over here a little bit. But because he left the EDL, I don't know, quite a while ago now. And also, I see him pop up with Britain First. But what's he doing? You know, he spent a little bit of time here. He got hooked up with that Muslim. Remember, there's this story. He was on his case a bit, and it ended up that Tim went away for a little while. He had to serve a bit of time. I don't know. So I can't remember the whole story, but at the time we were saying, back off, leave it out, because they will come back after you, and you will end up. But he couldn't. He was like a dog with a bone. He was obsessed. And unfortunately, they got him again. And, he spent a bit of time. And I think he's wrote a book when he was in prison as well. Just to let you know, Tanya.
Okay.
Can't remember. I think it's called The Pigeon or something. I can't remember. I haven't seen the book published as such. But I thought I'd give you a bit of a heads up. Because that was a number of years since we seen Tim. And, I mean, that was about the time that last time I'd see him about. I'd see him around, and when I see him pop up on Britain First, I thought, what? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard about that. I haven't heard anything about Tim in a while. So, well, I'm glad to hear he's still active.
He's active, but it's not exactly in a Well, okay, you know, we won't get into an EDL versus Britain First thing, but
no, we won't do that.
But, you know, keeping to the point here, you mentioned peace damaged, and I want to say that's a really great turn of phrase. I mean, in the West, we've had the advantage of our governments being fairly benign. We've had the advantage of the plenty of food and housing and entertainment products and things of that nature. And
yeah,
I really think
lots
that
of bread
has,
and circuses.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I before I came here to the show, I was watching the New England Patriots lose a football game. So but it really is incumbent, I think, on all of us to keep spreading the word and to keep doing things like you've been doing, keeping on putting the truth out there. And yes, providing spaces or places, rather, I don't want to say spaces, that makes me sound like a college lefty, providing places for people to go when things just get too intolerable. And I just want to ask you one more time, one more question here as far as that goes. What is your view of the future as far as, once again, as far as Bulgaria, the Visegrad countries and things like it? Is that really going to be the place where you think people who have had enough in Western Europe and possibly even in the United States and the UK, you think that's going to be the place people are going to start going en masse?
A lot of people are already moving to the Visegrad countries. I mean, Hungary, a lot of people, and Poland have experienced a huge influx of foreigners coming in, people who have had enough and say, okay, ooh, and they're looking towards the east, where they've possibly been for a visit, on a vacation, or friends have moved there and say, hey, he's like me, saying, fairly peaceful here, it's really nice. They are still holding on to their traditions, and they're conservative. And then people come and see for themselves, and they decide, like I did, yeah, you know what, this is the way things should be. This is things were once upon a time in my own country. And they, you know, they decide to pull up their tent poles. And it's already happening. It is. And I think it'll be the benefit of the East. Because there'll be a brain drain of people who have the resources to leave Western Europe and come here. It's happening. It's already happening. Not so much in Bulgaria yet. Bulgaria, when I first heard my friend that Tatiana had moved to Bulgaria, and I thought, Bulgaria? Bulgaria? Really? What? I thought, for some reason in my head, I had formed an image of Bulgaria being from an ex-communist hellhole. And then I came to visit, and I thought, wow, okay, this place is really nice. You know, it's a little... Bulgaria, Varna reminds me a little bit of a dignified older gentleman that's fallen on hard times. Yeah, still keeps up appearances, looks nice, clean, patched clothing here and there. That's kind of Varna, but it's dignified, and decent, and nice.
It looks lovely. Sorry, Dave, I just want to say, Varna looks a lovely place that you've moved to. I'm so glad you've got peace of mind. I mean, I don't think you'll have total peace of mind.
Oh, I don't have peace of mind, Jeff. Part of my life is settled. Part of my life is settled here. Of course, I feel safe going out and such. But I'm a peace of mind. No, I look around what's happening around the world, and with abject horror, absolutely. And I'm on the computer many hours a day. And I'm on Twitter and tweeting this and that and sharing as much as I possibly can. So that sort of peace of mind I don't really have, even though I myself is safe. I have, you know, friends and family in Denmark. They're not safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, friends in all the other countries
are not
safe.
Maybe your family moves out of Estonia. I think then everybody that you wants to be with you, because if things do get bad, you'd like to see them come over with you, because at least they've got a base there. You know, you've got a base.
Yeah, they have a place to go.
I like the way that you think about things, Tony. I think it's the way you've got to. You've got to look to the future. You've got to think, you know, things are getting really bad, and I've got to make a decision. And that decision of moving your apartment and moving over to Bath, that must have been one of the biggest decisions you've made. I mean, moving is a big decision, isn't it? But to do that and to realise that, look where you are now, look how happy you are, and you can still do what you do. You're still a proactive. You're still doing your stuff, aren't you, Tanya? God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't just hung up my opinions at all on a dusty shelf, put them on a dusty shelf. No, not at all. No, I'm still very active, but I'm just doing it from a different, different place.
You're not under that pressure that you was when you was in Denmark. That's it. I mean, we had a conversation going back a number of years ago when you said how bad it was. You've been hassled and you had death threats and people trying to, your information's given out and being under, you know, that sort of intimidation. Now, that must have been really, really worrying for you at the time.
No,
I can't
imagine what you experienced
at the time.
Not worrying, it just pissed me off, Jeff. That kind of stuff pisses me off. I don't get scared, I get angry.
Yeah.
I get really pissed off. These are like Antifa and Muslims. They don't scare me one bit. I just get really, really pissed off. So where
are you? That's what we like. We like a pissed off lady because you're the warriors.
Like, how dare they? You know? How dare they?
Well, that's why I look at it.
Infringe upon my life. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, go for it, Tony. I mean, that's... and we say it. I mean, we've got so many, people I used to know in the EDL, and they're our angels, warrior princesses, because they was on the front lines. No matter what was happening, they were standing beside the men there. And what can you say of women that stand beside the men when there's all sorts of things happening, police attacking you, this, that, and the other, coaches, people being pulled off coaches, and how many times we hear that over the time. Tiny. I mean, it was horrific. And Dave, back to you. Sorry, mate, I just see it pop up.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. I'm still here. I'm still here. I was going to have to go and take care of something, but that'll wait. Now the thing that interested me, Tanya, in what you were talking about, and it was a little spooky because I was thinking the same thing when you were talking about this, was how you think this is going to strengthen the East as far as there not being a sort of a brain drain, because the people who are the most aware have a certain amount of intelligence, and they're not prepared to hang around these countries. Obviously, not just Denmark, but so many of them, where they and their descendants are going to be treated like subhumans in the very countries where they are.
Well,
native.
Yeah, they're motherlands, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, I agree with you. I think that this can only make the East, all of these countries, stronger as far as their resources go and everything else. You look at Israel, which is under attack all the time, and I just want to put a big middle finger up to our Congress for not for stopping the funding of Israel's Iron Dome, which is but Israel is arguably the most embattled nation on earth, and yet they are actively engaging in some of the best science on earth, and not so much with the Wuhan virus, but as far as other things go, engineering and things of that nature, scientifically, they're among one of the top nations on earth, and that is because
they are
so embattled. And I personally, if what you say is right, and I have no reason to believe
they're also very intelligent, the Jews.
Oh yeah, well, the Israelis are, yes, they're very intelligent, but I see this also happening in the Eastern European countries as people move there and they lend their expertise. You could actually see an increase in the scientific wherewithal of all of these countries, from Bulgaria, where you are, all the way up to the countries further north, like Hungary and the rest of them.
Poland,
I really think that you actually do have something there. And Jeff, if you want to jump in here just for a moment, I'm going to have to leave you guys for just a second, okay?
Yeah, no problem, Tony. Tony, I had to jump off a minute just to redial in again, something's got to do that. But really interesting. The thing I was going to say to you, what's the situation in Bulgaria? Have you got any news that's going on in Bulgaria you'd like to share with the listeners out there? Because it sounds a very interesting country. So if you've got anything you want to share with us, please do, Tanya.
Yeah, no, regarding the political situation, I think they've had a number of elections apparently, and I don't think they have a sitting government, but not really. It's kind of, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I have a hard time because my Bulgarian is very poor. Yet I'm taking Bulgarian lessons, and I've got the alphabet down pat.
Yes, the language, isn't it?
Oh, the language, yes, the language. I know, I just today I was doing 3 hours of homework. My my Bulgarian teacher, she's quite a tough cookie. And she's an old-fashioned teacher, and she's not afraid of cracking the whip, so I toe the line. So I'm doing my homework like a kid every day, trying to learn the language.
Are you enjoying learning? But because that's another language, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
You're learning.
Yeah, I am. I am enjoying learning the language. Although I must say, I'm not quite as quick and good to remember as when I was younger. So it's a little bit tougher, of course. But bit by bit, as long as I make an effort, then I should be okay. And they appreciate you making an effort.
You'll be fluent. In the next couple of years, you'll be fluent at Bulgarian, and maybe you could teach us the language as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure you'd be able to do for much anything.
As I say, when Dave told me that you'd move, because I know he'd been in touch with you, I thought, wow, she's finally done it. Because I know going back even a number of years ago, you were talking about maybe in the future doing something. I didn't realise. In fact, I thought you might move to Poland or something like that, to be honest with you. I just had the feeling that maybe, or Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia is quite a healthy place as well at the moment as well, isn't it? So, but Bulgaria, not in a million years, but when I thought you'd have moved to Bulgaria. But it looks lovely.
Everybody says, Tanya, you moved to Bulgaria? And then I try to send them pictures from here, and I describe it.
Wobbles in this country. Well, they actually got Uncle Bulgaria, who actually come from Bulgaria. So you might bang into him.
Well, they are. The wild thing about it is that Tanya, I had the same opinion of Bulgaria that you did. I thought, okay, well, the Soviet Union has collapsed, and I'm sure that they're they're probably sick of the communism now. But before that, They, as I said, you know, this was darkest communist territory. You, you didn't even consider anything like that, you know. But it would certainly be an unexpected. I would think that people would expect someone to move more to Hungary, the Czech Republic, mm-hmm. Slovenia, yep. Poland. That would be another place it's people might expect to move to.
Yeah.
But
it's a hidden
as
gem.
It is. Yeah, as it is, my God, the country that you live in now, Bulgaria, it looks like almost a resort. Barna does anyway.
Bulgaria is a hidden gem, and I have yet to meet an expat who didn't like living here.
Well, there you go. And if I ever win the lottery. I am making a date with you now. If I ever win the lottery over here, you and I are going to go to Romania and go on the Dracula tour.
Oh, that would be great. That would be awesome. I'd love that. Transylvania, here we come.
Yeah, really great.
Get on the plan. Don't you like that? He's probably got a sail out to where you are, Tony. He left the sail out.
But I can only recommend Bulgaria, because Bulgaria really is a hidden, kind of an overlooked gem. Really, it is. Mm. It's lovely here. It's one of the most inexpensive countries in Europe, if not the most inexpensive country to live in.
You can buy
a house here for easily for 50,000 euros.
Very reasonable, Tanya.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Now I don't know the current translation, but 50,000 euros. That's not bad. And you've described the place live in, and it sounds almost palatial. So I mean. Places like that are, the big vacation spot a few years ago, and Jan Rennie, who is still a part of our EDL radio team, but she's kind of gone quiet over the past few years, used to vacation in Cyprus quite a bit, but she said even it is now becoming overrun with the Mohammedans. So, mate, you never know. You might see her. You might see her down on the beach here within
the
next
few Varna.
Years. Yeah. I have to ask about the weather there. Now, how much of I'm sure that it has a very nice and long warm season, but do they have any kind of winter there?
They do. They do also have mountains and skiing and such, and there are places where they get snow, not so much here by the coast in Varna, but I was here in March, early March, where I found where I was looking for an apartment. It was pretty chilly. It wasn't t-shirt weather. So you know, they do have a cold season. Absolutely, they do.
Whoa.
And it's starting now. Fall. I used to have all the balcony doors open, but now they're all closed because it's getting a little nippy in the air. Fall is coming. Fall is on its way. Oh, fall
yes,
is here.
Yes, it certainly
basically.
Is. So, yeah, you are
the
experiencing
have left.
Fall like Dave and myself. We, you know, because, you know, that is it. This is the type of year. You see the leaves falling off the trees and everything, and it's just, you know, it's coming. It's around the corner. We just hope that we don't get a harsh winter. And that's right, and it's on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't, yeah, but it from what I could see on the map, it doesn't really look like you guys are going to have that harsh a winter, unless, of course, it's another one of those years where you get a freak snowstorm like that year that there was a snowstorm all the way down in Saudi Arabia where they made snow camels and stuff like that.
If anything, it'll be just a short spell, and then back to normal, but it's lots of sunshine. I hear also there's lots of sunshine in the winter, so that's that's pleasant. But I hear that Varna gets very quiet in the winter, which suits me just fine. Now I'm studying the Bulgarian language. I need to sit inside instead of sitting on the beach. So.
I think you'll be. You'll do well at it. It might take a little time, Tony. I'm sure that you will overcome that, and you'll
be
talking fluid Bulgarian in a very short time. I hope for you.
I doubt it's a long time. As long as I can order a good meal and a beer, you know, that helps.
You got it.
Yeah.
No,
you have to keep your priorities straight.
I've never talked to someone in Bulgaria. You're the first person, Tanya, that we know that lives in Bulgaria. How about that?
About that? Well, maybe not the last.
Maybe not.
Well,
I'm thinking of helping other Danes. If there are other Danes who have had enough and want to move down here, then I'd be happy to help them. You know, it's not that easy, actually. They have a lot of leftover old bad habits from communist times. They like their stamps, and there's a lot of papers. Lots of bureaucracy. Even as an EU citizen, you have to get a long-term residency permit, and all the forms are in Bulgarian. All the forms are in Bulgarian, and they don't. And at the immigration office, they don't. In the immigration office, they do not speak English either. It's all in Bulgarian. So yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. So I was battling that for the last 3 months, and just last week I got my long-term residency. So I was very pleased about that. But that was after a lot of hoops I had to jump through, and you have to go to notaries and get stuff stamped, and oh, my God. Yeah.
Well,
but, if other people want to move, I'd be happy to help them with, point them in the right direction, what to do.
Oh, that's lovely, Tony. Go on, Dave. Sorry, I'll tell you, mate.
Well, no, it just sounds a lot to me. Like this is sort of a repeat of what you said before. They're proud of their own country. They're proud of their own language, and they want to keep it that way. And whereas in the UK and in the States and I'm sure in Denmark, all of the forms are in at least three languages,
mm-hmm.
and there's a translator available at all these places and things of that nature. It's almost
not
as if,
here.
Yeah, it's almost as if we're ashamed of our own native languages, but not there, which is really good.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And they love their, they also love their own music and such. I was going out for dinner one evening, and here I live in central Varna. I was walking through across the square, and there was Bulgarian musicians playing Bulgarian music, and people were dancing. It shows that this wasn't like a dance troupe or anything like that. These were just people joining in, dancing, to their own Bulgarian music, or the traditional dances. And then once the song was finished, and then, some people, they left and went about their business as they were going to do, and then other people just joined in. And there was age range was from 10 years old to 90. Everybody was just dancing together to their own Bulgarian traditional music. And I thought that was just wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I took a video of it as well.
It?
I thought this was just fantastic.
That is perfect.
They love their music. They love their culture.
Yeah.
And they're proud of it.
I wonder if you would do us a solid and around Christmas time, because we've discussed this one, how... Yeah. In our own countries, in our home countries, everything is, at least in official places, is all dark and gray and barriers set up to keep terrorists from running people over with vehicles and things of that nature. Yeah, all of that. And yet, in the Visegrad countries and places like that, it's all lit up and wonderful, and it's like a Christmas wonderland.
Uh-huh.
If you come across something like that in Bulgaria, can you take some videos and things like that? And would you be averse to coming on our show, say in January sometime or February, and talking about your Christmas experience there versus Denmark?
Absolutely, Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I'd be delighted to, Dave. And I know they love Christmas, you know, Tony, they do. You've
got to be more of a regular now. We love, I mean, the conversation has been, you know, we've been talking for a little while, but it's so refreshing just to talk about your new experiences and, you know, what you came from and what you're doing now. Have you found work out there, Tony? Are you still being processed for work or... I haven't found work.
Right now, I'm in the fortunate position that I did sell my apartment for a nice penny, so I can I can afford to, and I've invested some of that money as well. So right now, I can afford to, be a lady of leisure. Which is nice. But I'm thinking of taking something called the TEFL, which is Teaching English as a Foreign Language. It's a course you have to take if you want to teach English. And you can teach English online or in person. So I'm actually thinking of taking that course, the TEFL course, so that, it'd be nice. It'd be a good thing to do. It could, add a little bit of money, extra money to the coffers, which would be nice as well, of course. Never have enough.
It'll help.
But also just to keep, to be a part of the community and get to know some more Bulgarians keep a network going.
Beautiful.
I am thinking of doing that.
Well, you know, Tanya, before we conclude today, and by the way, I want to tell people that the show was called Beauty and the Beast because Wuhan virus. Well, Tanya, you're the beauty, okay, and the beast The beast is what we refer to as our governments, who are trying to act almost like the biblical beast. You have to get this shot in order to buy or sell, that kind of thing, and that's also why the banner picture. Now, there is a rather, and this is good for people who want to travel to Bulgaria too, because this is something they may want to look out for. There is a rather interesting custom that they have, and you sent me a video on it. When it comes to nodding the head or shaking the head, you want to tell people about that one?
Well, yeah. I don't see it. I have seen it a couple of times, but I don't see it very much in the younger generation. But it was back from where people were nodding their head for no, and that's very confusing. And then shaking their head for yes, where the story is, it's back from the Ottoman times where they were put to the sword. If they were asked, are you a Christian? And if they nodded, then they would have their head chopped off. So the yes became a head shake instead. So they could still say yes, but they did it by shaking their head instead, which I thought was really interesting. That was
brutal,
really cool.
Times. That's where it comes from, eh? The Ottoman times, where it was totally brutal, wasn't it? I say Christians
totally
have always
brutal.
Been persecuted.
Yeah, and they are not keen on going back or having anything to do with the Turks, not at all.
Mm.
Yes. Well, I definitely noticed that. I mean, certainly the Greeks aren't the best friends of the Turks. Never have been.
No.
And I can kind of imagine that being the same way with the Bulgarians. Tanya. We're getting fairly close to the end of our program, and I want to tell you from my part.
Wow, time has gone quickly. Goodness.
It has. It's gone too fast. I want to thank you for being on with us. We know that it's late night over there, and just you've been a tremendous guest, and we really do look forward to talking to you our early part of next year and getting your impressions again of Christmas, and I want to thank you for giving people an example of what has happened, basically because of this globalism, because of this socialism out of control, and because of the political class in all of our countries just taking the bit of power in their mouths and running with it and not caring about the people. They're driving people to places like Bulgaria and the Visegrad countries, and you guys are having an incredibly good time. And I want to just say once again, thank you for being here. You are much, much appreciated. Jeff?
Well, thank you, Dave, for having me on the show. And you and Jeff, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a great pleasure, really.
It's been all our pleasure. I mean, it's just lovely to hear. It's nice to know that you've got a bit more security around you. You haven't got to worry about the cultists of death or the leftists, hassling you or anything like that. And it's nice to know you've got that peace of mind at the moment, Tania. And what a beautiful place to move to. As I say, come back and visit us more, Tania, because there's a lot that we can talk about. Come back. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show this evening. It's been
anytime.
A long time.
Anytime, Jeff.
Bless you. You look after yourself, Tania, Tania, when we talk again, maybe you can share some Bulgarian with us, because hear the language, to see how you do. See, a bit of a test, see how you do, Tania.
I'd be a little embarrassed.
Go for it, learn.
Maybe in January or February, where I have a little more of a vocabulary.
I'm sure you won't take too long. I mean, and of course, it's more beneficial for you to learn the language.
Of course, I mean, it's also, it's respectful. I'm living in their country, so it's respectful to learn their language, of course.
As I say, Tony, in Rome, sort of thing, isn't it? So nice to talk to you, Tony. It's so good to see you keeping your activism up. And I know you've always been a
I'm never, never giving up.
Never give up, never give in, and you will never surrender.
Never
I know you're
never
dying. Thank you so much for being such an awesome
guest this evening.
And come back and see us again
soon.
God bless you, Tania.
I certainly will.
Oh, Tania, did you want to say, was there anything else you want to say before we say goodnight?
To your listeners, never give up, never give in, keep fighting. And if you have to do like me, move to another country, you can actually keep fighting, even if you're not maybe in situ in your own home country. It can be done. Keep up your spirits, man. You guys in Britain especially have been hard hit with your government, really.
We certainly have, Tony. But you know what? As you said, never give up. We'll never give in. And I certainly won't ever surrender. And that's what we do. We keep pushing forward. And we know, darkness is around us and surrounds us. But we continue because the light has to shine forth, Tony. And once again, God bless you. You look after yourself, Tony, and hope to speak to you very soon. See you soon, Tony.
Yes.
Good night and God bless.
Likewise, Jeff, and you too.
God bless you, Tony.
Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
And you're very welcome.
Good night,
Tony. God bless you.
And
all
a
right,
last
guys.
To the listeners, do not take the jab. Do not take the jab. Do the research.
Oh my God, what a woman.
Resist.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Yes. Excellent. Thank you, Tania. God bless you. All right. Take care now. As Tania hangs up, guys, I'll go ahead and do my finals right now. Everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States, and that is 6 p.m. in the UK. And I put out new shows on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that is 5 a.m. Saturday in the UK. I'm also on with Kenneth McClinton, CEO of TECNTV.com, on the Exceptional Conservative Show at 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays in the United States, and that is about 2 a.m. on Fridays in the UK. We have a very nice segment each Thursday, or whenever Ken can do that. Definitely visit his Rumble page. Again, that's down there on our page, the link to that. I'm also available on social media. Dave Milner, M-I-L-N-E-R, or Agador, A-G-G-E-D-O-R, or UBG Contact. You can try any of those three. Magador with an underscore after it on Twitter, because they took out my UBG Contact account. And waiting, they'll probably take out the Agador underscore account in 3, 2, 1. But I'm available on Cloud Hub, Getter, Magabook, MeWe, Minds, Mumblet, Parler. I don't do a lot there, but Tommy Robinson's on there for sure. Spreely, USA Life, and I am always Agador on Gab. And I want to say another thank you to Tanya Groth. Just what a woman, what an excellent guest. And a big thank you to Bigfoot and Satunik, and to the Foot Soldiers, the Angels, the Truth Tellers, the Truth Spreaders, all of the people who are out there resisting in whatever way you resist. Be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. I'm done talking, Jeff. It's over to you, my brother.
As usual, Dave, fantastic, your final thoughts for the show this evening. I've just got Bigfoot, I did see the comment there, but there was so much going on at the time when Tiny was there that I never got around when Tiny was there. Bigfoot says, I know the Polish word for beer, and he said it's probably pretty close to the Bulgarian word. That's what he said, Dave. So, yeah, Bigfoot, that sounds interesting. And Bigfoot and Saturnia, what a great guest we had on with Tiny Graf. She was an avid activist when she was in Denmark, but she was put under so much pressure there, and one of the reasons that she just, you know, she needed a bit of peace of mind, and seems that she's got that, and God bless her, and all the works that she do, but she's still an activist, she's still doing her thing, and we love that, don't we, Dave? We love that. But once again, I've got to thank yourself, Bigfoot and Sir Tunic. Always good to see you guys here tonight with us. Dave, I think we've had a pretty cool show tonight with an awesome guest. I'm sure we'll be talking to Tanya in a not too distant future. Maybe she'll teach us both a bit of Bulgarian next time, Dave. Don't put her on the spot. But it sounds a pretty interesting language, doesn't it? It's always nice. I never learnt French when I was at school. Never liked the French, to be honest with you. Oh, hang about. We've still... Dave, we've got... we've got someone who's calling in.
No, Jeff. I just went ahead and muted Tanya's mic, is all.
Oh, okay. Cheers, mate. But anyway, Dave, once again, I've got to thank you, brother, for the great script and the great slides this evening. Absolutely awesome as usual. And, it's been one of those nights when the time is, we've often said this, it's like a blur, isn't it? So many things. And you know what? I think we never got around to talking about a lot of stuff we was going through, but it was so great to have Tanya join us tonight, wasn't it, Dave? So nice to have Tanya. It's been a few years. It's not something to... Well, I met Tanya when she came over to the Colchester thing. She came over, so I've actually met her, and she's just a lovely lady. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm blabbering on a little bit myself, but I've just got to say, for everybody's listening, whatever part of the world you are, and, you know, and I do know if you're in Australia, if you're listening to this transmission tonight or to get the podcast, we're with you guys. Just resist. I know it's tough. You have got a tyrannical government there. One thing I will tell you guys is what's happening, this is just not tyrannical, it's also satanic. So be prepared. This is pure evil that is coming at you guys. But you know what? With the thoughts of people, you can resist this tyrannical push towards you. And I know how evil it is. I've seen it. I know what you guys are saying. You are bold, you're courageous and brave. Continue to do, because you're doing it for your kids, you're doing it for yourself. You're not going to take that jab. I know what you guys are like. Just resist, resist, resist. Fight back, whatever way you possibly can. Because they're coming for you, they're coming for the kids. And we will not let that happen. So, Dave, once again, thank you very much for your great help this evening. It's been one of those absolutely brilliant shows that I've remembered for a long, long time. But I've got the guys here, they're giving me a nod. They're ready to go, Dave. So I'm just going to say to everybody out there, everybody that we know, anybody that listens to this, this broadcast, get a podcast, whatever. You take care, stay safe. God bless you, yourself. I mean, remember, the thing is now, resist, resist, resist. No surrender ever to the jib-jab. With that, you ready? Yes, we're ready. Let's go, guys. Good night, all.
Good night, Dan. Good night, Dan. Good night, Dan.
Good night, Dan. People might say that I should strive for more. I'm so happy, I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. If I need you like that, for far from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your flesh. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. They choose your leader to place your trust. And their lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. La la la.
Garland, thank you very much, boys. We'll see you next week, okay? Take care. All right, yeah, okay. Anyway, guys, I'd say that's the last bit for the show this evening. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as myself and Dave, with our great guest, Tony Groff, has been to do the show tonight. I've loved every second of it this evening, and I'm sure Dave has. And I think Tony has enjoyed this back amongst her friends again. That's what it's all about, guys, you know. We're in this together. We're all in it. We're fighting this together. And say, so we won't give up, we won't give in, and we never, ever surrender. So I've just got to do this. This is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight. And we'll see you again next Sunday. Okay, guys, see you soon. God bless you. Good night.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dunitz. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunitz.
Hey, are you guys listening? This is Shannon from Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM on SHR Media. I know you've been wondering where we are and what's been going on. Well, folks, that's right. We're back. So please join us 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday on SHR Media, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and Facebook Live at 11 a.m. on Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM at Facebook. You don't want to miss a minute. We've got lots of guests, lots of segments, and lots of interesting things. And let's face it, there's nowhere for you to go, so you might as well tune in. Again, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. We're back live on the air on SHR Media, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday, audio and Facebook Live, audio and video. Yes, we are going to do video. Facebook Live, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. Hope to see you soon.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It is he. He that is me. Bringing perspective from across the sea. Join me, Jack Alexander, 4 days a week for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast as I take a unique outsider's look at the news and issues affecting life and liberty here in the USA. I'll show you what the mainstream media refuses to. Politics, border security, defense, healthcare, travel. Nothing is off limits. Catch the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast each Monday to Thursday on Facebook, YouTube, and everywhere good podcasts can be found. Also, check out the website, www.jackalexanderexperiment.com.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick Eubelis as host and C.S. Bennett co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, the Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's the Unpleasant Blind Guy.
On EDL Radio.
There's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to the ExceptionalConservativeShow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
WBN is proud to present the hosts from Sunday Long Live Radio.
Hey lovelies, this is Rhea from Sunday Long Live Radio from the World Broadcasting Network. You'll catch me live every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK for a few hours. I cover a lot of the chat that goes on, as well as covering lesser known stories. Following me at midday is Joss the Boss, the People's Poet.
Hi everyone, this is Joss the Boss from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard or 12 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering news from the red pill side of life with a little bit of humour thrown in for good measure. See you there.
Following Joss is Based Amy, our resident activist.
Hi everyone, this is Based Amy from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard or 1 o'clock GMT. I'll be covering Q stories among other Patriot news you may want to know about. See you there.
Following Amy is Nan from Ireland.
Hi, this is Nan from Ireland. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio every Sunday of the year, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 2 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering the news and joining some dots and looking at the bigger picture. Think how the West is changing, the influence of the UN, the NGOs, the WHO, etc. You know, that kind of thing. See you there.
Following Nan is Bull Rock from Canada.
This is Marty, also known as Bull Rock from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I will be taking a look at news from a more objective and concise point of view, so if you like detail, this is the place to be.
Also joining Bull Rock is Ed the Bear from Canada.
Hi everyone, this is Ed the Bear from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year. We're on the air, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. GMT, which also happens to be Zulu time for those of you that are pilots. I'll be taking a look at the current news with Marty with a slightly discerning point of view. So if you like detail, this is the place to be.
There's your lineup for Sunday Long Live Radio, airing on the World Broadcasting Network every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK, 7 p.m. New South Wales. Just type in your browser,
WBN324 to tune in. We'll see you there.